All right. Welcome to the Florida Specifier Podcast. This is Brett Cyphers, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts and fellow members of the Specifier Editorial Board. First, we have our editor-in-chief, Patrick Gillespie, who is an advisor with the Adams and Reese Law Firm. Then there's Jeff Littlejohn. He's with National Stormwater Trust, On-Site Performance, and he's also a senior advisor at the Adams and Reese Law Firm. We're also happy to be joined by special guests and the engine behind the Florida Environmental Network. More about that in a little bit. Jamie Sheehan. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you.
And conspicuously absent is Ryan Matthews. We won't even say where he works because we don't know he's working. And I'm Government Affairs Director with Sea and Shoreline, and I also host another podcast called Water for Fighting. Gentlemen and Jamie, welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Hey, Brett.
So we finally finished a session. The governor signed a budget just a few days ago, right? June 30th. A lot of vetoes, but not as many as I actually thought he would. He's kind of shot for targets for as much as, I think, $3 billion in the past. I think $600 million is, you know, it's a hefty number, but not as big as I was thinking, given the, I'll call it, acrimony at times over the session and its length. What do you think?
A little bit odd how the vetoes kind of rolled out, because he did the line item vetoes, and then there were a lot of vetoes of fund shifts and clawbacks. So the legislature had taken some money from certain agency trust funds. He vetoed some of that. Then there was some back of the bill funding that he vetoed. And so it was a little bit interesting how he chose what to veto and what to keep in. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, still a lot of money out there for water projects, a lot for the Everglades, which was a big criticism of the House throughout session, was how much money, state and federal money, had gone into the Everglades and still was unspent. Still a pretty healthy amount for the Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan and then other projects. So maybe not as high as prior years, but that was kind of expected.
I was a little disappointed to see some of the zeroing out or reducing of the Water Quality Improvement Grant program. There's a very narrowed list of eligible applicants this year. I think that's going to catch some people by surprise. I know it's already catching people by surprise.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's naivete on my part or not. It's like, we know they did the kind of the switch out, but it wasn't for the entire amount of the grant program. So there's going to be some amount in it, but I think, I mean, to your point, Jeff, it's like it's not going to be nearly the numbers, you know, that it was in the past.
And if you're not in the IRL or Biscayne Bay, you kind of don't have that option this year, it appears, from the, you know, from the announcement from DEP.
I am curious to see how that bodes for going into an early session next year. Do we have that same kind of tug of war over those dollars between member projects, which many of them are water quality projects, no doubt. It's like, but if you're talking about playing around with $400 million plus, it's, you know, it's a lot to play with, and so it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Indeed.
Well, there's always that sort of argument if you're trying to cut funding, to say there's pots of money that are available, still hasn't been spent, so why would we continue funding it, right? And especially when you have a quick turn from session ending to committee week starting up here in, you know, a matter of 2 months, essentially, or 3 months, it makes it a little bit easier for the legislature to make an argument that the funding doesn't need to be as high because there's funding already available. So if the agencies don't act quick enough to move that money out, it just makes the argument a little bit easier.
I mean, some of those, the other grants did survive. You have the Springs funding that made it, alternative water supply and a few others. Resilience was, you know, another, I think I would call it a winner.
Big winner.
Yeah. And so some of them moving forward is like, but I think to your point, Patrick, is it's funny. It's Jeff and I actually talked about this last week about how to deal with the issue of paying for projects that don't end up happening as quickly as these appropriators expect them to. So, you know, there's a selfish aspect to that, but it's also just a good public policy aspect to it. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's just jump right into the paper, because I want to get to our special guests as quickly as possible. But Patrick, why don't you give us kind of the nickel tour of the front page and beyond?
I think it'll be at least a dime tour.
Oh,
I want to make sure it's extra special.
Raising the
here
bar.
Here we go. We're trying this time. Yeah, so, you know, obviously, what we kind of tend to do every July, August edition we've done for the last few years is give a pretty healthy preview of Marco, which I know Jamie's going to talk a little bit about. So just because a good portion of our newspaper audience goes to that conference and is invested in that conference, we make sure that we have some content there. But as far as the rest of the paper, thankfully, we were able to get some information in on the final budget, which was a challenge last edition, given that session ended up getting pushed back. So that became a little bit of an issue for our last edition, but got the budget story in. And then, like we always try to do, there's a mix of different stories on projects that are ongoing that different water management districts or agencies are working on. And then just some different kind of perspectives on things going on at the federal level and also just your kind of garden variety environmental sort of stories that are out there on collaborations between a university and a community to work on an issue, and then state level agencies and how they're handling sort of environmental challenges. So hopefully a pretty good mix of stories.
I'll say that this paper seemed to have another theme running through it. I saw three, maybe four articles in this edition that are related to recycling or waste or something like that. One could actually call it downright trashy, this episode.
Oh, boy. that's a new low, Brett.
Patrick won't respond to that. That's fine. No. That's fine. It's a great paper. All right, so let's skip what I just did there and go straight to maybe some favorite articles. And I think I just gave up my prerogative to go first with that lame joke. Jeff, why don't you tell me what you like?
I'm very happy to have a lot of good Marco content this year. Super excited about the conference. Super excited to introduce our new DEP secretary to everybody at the conference. Those of you who haven't met Alexis Lambert, she joined us pretty recently and has hit the ground running, and I think she's a fantastic addition to the agency. And it was pretty cool that she offered to do a Q&A with us. I thought that was really nice. It's a way of getting to know her and her family a little better. I won't steal Jamie's thunder, but we're going to have a pretty cool session with her and some of the other secretaries in a kind of a fireside chat this year on Wednesday. My favorite article this paper. Is you know how much I'm a nerd of all things WOTUS, and so I enjoyed the article by Fred Ashauer and his colleague, Catherine Hupp, on some of the latest actions out of the Supreme Court on Waters United States and the Clean Water Act. I think it's very cool information. It's nice to have people that are in our industry and really experts in this putting together content that people can take home to their clients or their practices. So kudos to you, Fred and Catherine, for a great article and making my...
Excellent. The Alexis one was my favorite, just because of the kind of the other podcast that I do angle, which is getting to know people that do what we do for a living. And so I really enjoyed reading about a little bit more about her. Obviously, you know, everyone knows her parents and got the opportunity to know her dad over the years. But it's nice to read a little bit more about her and get to know her better. I'm going to go obliquely as a homer and say I actually like the Q&A this edition from the Southwest Florida Water Management District on the importance of seagrass. Go figure why I would care about that. I think it's a great article. I think it is important. And I think it's good for people to learn about a little bit more about what's going on there and some of those needs. I'll also say, you know, it's a bit controversial, but I do think the Talfast article is really good. And I think maybe it's more nostalgia for me than anything. It was one of the first issues I dealt with when I was in the governor's office. I was starting out as an analyst, a nobody on water issues up there, and this came across, you know, the desk, and it's nice to see that maybe they're moving in a direction that'll be good for turning something that before would have been a blight into something that's positive, and so it's nice to see that as well. What do you think, Patrick? Do you have a favorite? I know you don't like, they're all your children, but...
No, I mean, there's some that I could go either way on. But I will tell you one that I really liked, and just because I think it's a really cool concept, was this recycling article. There's a nonprofit in Fort Myers called Trish Trash. They've partnered with a group called Elite Sports in Central Florida, who organizes these large, mostly basketball, but other sports tournaments where they bring in kids of all ages into a central location. What Trish Trash has done is they've partnered with them, and so now whenever they have these big tournaments, kids will check in, get these large 50-gallon bags, and they will go pick up bottles and cans throughout the arena or the field or wherever they are. The upside is the kids get on the spot volunteer hour credit, which they need for Bright Future scholarships. So so Trish Trash has sort of figured out that while the kids are not playing, they're sitting on the sidelines playing with their phones or tablets or whatever they're doing, instead of doing that, they're now picking up recyclables, which Trish Trash then can help recycle. But then the kids are getting credit they need for scholarships. And so it's become this really cool partnership that I think was a really cool, novel idea and hopefully something that can pick up around the state. Seems like for the most part, they're kind of in Central Florida, but hopefully others sort of pick up that this concept could really work. And talking to some of the coaches and parents, they love it. Like, they think it's a really cool thing that their kids who are traveling for sports don't necessarily have time to volunteer. So they're kind of taking that effort to where they are. And as a nonprofit, they're able to sign off on these volunteer hours. So I just thought it was a really cool concept and hopefully something that can really take off.
All right. So normally, Ryan and I would go on about some podcasts that are coming up. I'll say, give one mention of a recent one. I had the opportunity to sit down with Temperance Morgan, who is the Southern U.S. Director for the Nature Conservancy. And that was a great conversation. Great to get to know her a little bit better as well. So check that one out. If you would like to record, you can still do it. Get in touch with me and Ryan if you'd like to record down in Marco Island. We will be there. I will have the equipment. Let me know, and glad to get you on tape, so to speak. All right, let's get to the star of the show here, and that's Jamie Sheehan and the Environmental Permitting Summer School, otherwise referred to as just Marco a lot of times. And so, Jamie, it's great to have you with us. Let's talk about the details in the specifier that are there that people can take advantage of. So when you get a copy of it, right?
Right.
As you come and you register, Jamie will hand you a copy of the specifier, and it'll contain what related to the conference.
So we will have a copy of the grid. There's a QR code at the bottom right of the grid that if there have been any changes in the schedule, you can click on that and you will get an updated grid. There's also the exhibit hall map and a list of all of our exhibitors.
I like the schedule part in it because I'm bad about, using apps and things like that. So that's pretty cool. What else should people know about what may be different this year than in the past?
So we have streamlined some of our courses. We've cut a lot of courses and speakers to refresh and revamp. We've also made larger classrooms, which has also cut some of our smaller ones. We tried to cut down the number of speakers, but we are pretty much level with what we had last year.
How many do you have? How many do we have coming up?
I think the last count was 306 speakers.
Wow. I think that speaks, though. I think it speaks to the broad interest nature of that conference versus some others, which is whether it's attorneys that work in the business or engineers or lawmakers or agency heads. I think there's something for literally everyone to get out of these presentations, these classes. You actually get credit, right, for continuing ed. Who does qualify for continuing ed?
So we have our certification through the Florida Bar and the Florida Board of Professional Engineers. We do offer general certificates that can be used in other states or by other associations, but those are the two that we have gone through the process and actually get those credits.
And when people are there, are people able to buy a pass just to lurk about in the exhibit hall, or do we encourage them to get full registrations?
No, we encourage them to get full registrations. With 1,400 people walking around, it's easier just to have everybody attend everything.
Well, and the tchotchkes that you can get in the exhibit hall are
that's worth
100%.
$600. So yeah. $750 right there.
Well, also,
right?
there's a raffle. You don't want to have random people putting their name in the raffle.
Speaking of big rooms, I think one of the things that people all go to is the luncheons. You have keynotes, and one in particular, and Jeff, I think, mentioned it earlier.
I teased it.
Yeah.
But I want Jamie to give the full reveal.
Who's doing it? What's it about?
So instead of in previous years. We've had one keynote speaker just give a glorious speech, and it's normally the current DEP secretary. This year, Secretary Lambert approached us with the idea of doing a fireside chat with herself and former secretaries. So we have a former secretary, Ryan Matthews, our able not here.
What are we going to call him? You're stuck on the adjective there. There's a lot of them.
He's not here, but he will be at Marco, and he will be hosting as a former secretary. He will be hosting current Secretary Lambert, and then former secretaries Sean Hamilton, Herschel Vineyard, and John Steverson for a basically a fireside chat that we're going to hopefully turn into a podcast.
It's a lot of Southern accents up there on the stage.
Yeah, agreed. It should be entertaining.
I'm interested to see what they talk about, whether it's how their time at the department, like what their biggest challenges was, or is this a here's what we've learned, go forth and prosper, Secretary Lambert?
It'll be a lot of fun. They're all larger than life personalities, and they're all very entertaining in their own right. And I think as a group, this could be a. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun.
And you'll be kind of stuck in a couple of different places. What should people do if they need help other than bother your brother, which is always fun to do?
They can come to the registration desk. This year we have Meg Holly, Tracy Kistler, and myself, and we'll all be in our blue shirts like we were last year. And then we have two student interns with two other companies who've come and are going to help us at the desk during our busiest times. And then we have a lot of new stuff this year. We've always had a room block at the Hilton. This year we're offering a shuttle in between the two hotels for all of the people that are staying down there. We've got all new graphics. All the decor is going to be updated. As per Ryan's request, we will have less dots on the floor.
Well, you know, you got to dial it back a little bit for 39 so you can take it to 11 for 40.
More dots and 40. I like it.
I'm excited for the 40th because when Linda retired, she gave me all of the old brochures, all of the old t-shirts. So we've got lots of great ideas that we're running with.
I literally cannot wait. Luckily, it's only a couple weeks from now. So
yeah, I leave in 8 days.
Yeah. And so, I mean, y'all put a ton of forward work into this. I mean, it's not like you show up and you're at the hotel, put up a stand and off you go. It's like it's a year-round thing. And so I've seen you work at it, and I've seen, you know, your team, you know, along with you working on it. And y'all just do a great job. And I always looking forward to it. I know pretty much everybody, you know, does. And so.
Well, and the Marriott has changed a lot through the years. The lobby bar is got a refresh, so it's going to look different this year.
Oh.
Quinn's was new last year, so there's a lot to look forward to.
Do they get some more square footage in there? Because that's the big limiter, is trying to pack 1,000 people.
We've asked. They already built a tower for us, so they're not going to do another one.
Nice. Very good.
So one of the things that we just announced was that we are going to be having a single class on Waters of the United States. We have a guest speaker coming down from Washington, D.C. He's the, I think, deputy principal assistant secretary of the Army. So some, you know, bigwig from D.C. His name is Lee Forsgren. He's coming down. He only has the ability to stay with us in the morning. So we're going to basically take a class that we were planning to teach twice in our largest room that holds 150 or so people, but knowing that that's likely to be a popular class and that we only have one chance to do it, we're going to hold it in the big room.
It's going to be where we have the luncheons.
That's right. Downstairs in the Banyan Room, where we can hold 1,000 people, we'll have plenty of room for you if you want to come and listen to senior headquarters guy from the Corps of Engineers talk about Waters of the United States and all that's going on there. And Herschel Vineyard will be moderating that. Matt Leopold used to be our DEP general counsel, was general counsel at EPA. He's coming down from D.C. also. Mm. So a star-studded panel.
And Mike Dennis.
Yeah, Mike Dennis, of course.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a great panel. I'm looking forward to it. Bring your questions. I'm planning to try to stump the secretary if I can. Anyway, looking forward to that.
Like the sound of it. Hey, Jamie, anything else that we should know about?
Yeah, we have 16 diamond sponsors this year. The most we've ever had. And we've got 114 exhibitors. So there's plenty to look at and visit.
That's a lot.
Well, Patrick, thanks for, again, you and Tracy to, one of your finest editions ever. Really, really enjoyed it. Really well put together. You want to take us home?
Thanks for listening to the Florida Specifier Podcast. If you like what you hear, please be sure to hit subscribe on whatever platform you use to listen. And don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and review. If you don't like what you hear, it is most certainly Ryan's fault. So please be sure to let him know. Don't hold it against the rest of us. Certainly not Jamie, who has just been thrown into this whole situation. I recommend subscribing to the Florida Specifier online at floridaspecifier.com and read your environmental news and commentary the old-fashioned way. Please be sure to subscribe. It's easy, inexpensive, and offers a ton of ways to read, watch, listen, and learn at your fingertips. Your support is greatly appreciated. Production of this podcast is by Carl Sorn and David Barfield at Lonely Fox Studios, and we want to thank Bagels and Biscuits for letting us use their music for the podcast. Join us next time as we delve into the issues, policy, and people that environmental professionals and policymakers want to know about. For Jeff Littlejohn, Brett Cyphers, and the absent Ryan Matthews, and Jamie Sheehan, I'm Patrick Gillespie, and we'll see you next time.